Are you stuck at home in lockdown? Yeah, I know, we all are. Don't worry, we've got you covered, because it's time once again for Live at Night with Pete Ferrero, where whatever happens, happens. Now, along with his special guests, here is your host, Pete Ferrero.
Okay, we are live at night, and I've got Cody here. We're just waiting on Derek. I'm excited for this, man. It's been a while since you guys reunited on screen for something, maybe?
The Hitman. The last time was when we did a stint for CBS, season 17. They brought us together. We did like an interview of, you know, how we thought
guys up now, right? Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. It's funny too, man, because this show has been, your season is what, like 6 years ago now? Right?
Yeah. Long time. It's crazy how time flies. I was 23 years old when I went on it. I'm 29 now.
So it's hard to remember all the things that happened probably in the series, right? I mean
to be honest.
Yeah.
And on our season, I don't know, man. It's like burned in your head.
I believe
it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Do you
look at it like a show, or do you look at it like that was my fucking life? Like, you know what I mean? I know
it definitely,
you know.
Yeah. Definitely an experience. Definitely more of an experience than a show. Like, you know, like for people that I guess like when you watch it, you're like, wow, the show Big Brother. But like when we watch it, I'm always texting Derek, like, dude, every season I'm like, can you believe?
Oh no, we lost you here. We lost your audio real quick. No, we lost Cody's audio. We'll figure it out. Oh, you muted yourself. Here. Probably has something to do with the headphones. We're going to get it.
Yeah, my headphones. I don't know if my head. Yeah.
But anyway.
You want to have the headphones in.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, what were you saying? You were saying that you guys text each other and you'll be like, what the fuck?
Dude, can you believe that we played this show? And not just like we played it, like we went to the end. We were there for 97 days, not including the sequester that goes on beforehand.
Right.
And so it's wild when you think about it, like how long the show is, and to go to the end with somebody that means something and is so close to you, and like having the one win and the other one be runner up, it was just like
I can only imagine. It was incredible. That'd be crazy. Yeah, hopefully Derek pops in here soon so we can actually do this reunion. Yeah, man. And I know that then you had your brother did it.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's like you didn't learn from your mistake. Right, you know, like he wanted to have that same Big Brother experience. It has to be intense, man.
Yeah, he I don't think I get this working. He he definitely went on and didn't take the advice that really I kind of tried to give to him. And I know he talked to Derek a lot. I'll let Derek touch on that.
Yeah,
but you know, it was definitely weird from the other side, watching him and just being like, why did you do that? Or like watching the live feed and be like, oh, what are you saying that for? And then it's like you see people that you hope that he works with and you're like, bro, why are you like pushing this person away?
Yeah.
And so it's definitely
it has to be the craziest shit because you're brothers. So, you know, you're very close, obviously. Yeah. And he's probably telling you when you were on, I was thinking, why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? You know, and now you get to experience that same freaking thing a year later. You know what I mean? Where you're like, oh shit. Now I know what that feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't tell me too much. He wasn't big on, you know, that my dad, I would say, was the person that was like, you know, at this point, because like my dad is like a huge Big Brother fan, has watched since season one and like was watching the live feeds constantly, checking out some of the Twitter feeds that like they just put like the stuff on constantly that go on the live feeds.
Yeah.
And we would go back and watch. So my dad was like, you know, when you were like talking about getting this person out, like this person would have had your back. Like,
there's no way to know that when you're in there, I guess.
You don't. You don't. And you trust the people. Like for me, it was always like I trusted the people that were close to me that I felt the bond with. And then ultimately, like I trusted Derek the most.
Right.
If Derek was like, if I was feeling some type of way and Derek was like, listen, like, I understand, but like, you have to put this into perspective and like, think about this. I would be like, yeah. And like, it would never be like a question in my head. Like, why is he doing that? Like,
right.
Like for other people, like if I would have a conversation with them, I'd be like, I wonder if they have like a hidden agenda. Like Derek, it never was the case.
It's gotta be too, like, okay. I feel like from the couple of times I've met you and what I know about you, you're a good dude. So you're very trusting of people, right? I mean, that's kind of the Jersey way, right? We until you fuck us, then you're done,
right?
But you know, so that must have been sort of tough to be in the house with that, because you don't know in that house everybody is playing a game,
right? And you never know. That's a very good point, which is kind of why when you go on the show and you come off like your head's like in a whirlwind, because like every conversation is questionable. I'm like, every conversation, like the good thing was, is like I had one person like Derek where like it never like my conversation was just open and I was as open to what he was going to say back without even questioning. So yeah. It was good to have that. I think it kept me very sane, because then I could bounce in like a thought or like maybe like an emotion that I was feeling in the moment off of somebody that like I trusted what they were going to say back to me. And I didn't like think it was a game move.
Right.
Yeah, I knew like at the end of the day, he had his best interest in the game because he's not looking out for me over himself. But I knew like the person right behind him was me. So he wasn't going to give me information that could ultimately screw me over or like put me out the door. So like, I trusted him completely to like kind of be open and not have to worry about it. And so I never second guessed. Whereas every other conversation was like, man, I like him, but like, I don't know if I can trust him, or like, I really feel like I'm getting close with her, but no. I don't know if he's kind of close with this one, or like he's kind of close with that one. So it's like you never know. Whereas like with
Derek, was that coming out of the house and then, you know, having regular conversations with people and then being like, you know, still are, is there a period there where you're still playing a game and no one else is playing it anymore? You know what I mean?
I never had that. Not coming out of the house. I kind of came right back into my like close group of friends. And was kind of like around people that I already had trusted. And so like, I was never questioning anything really, to be honest. I can't say that I did. I can't say like, I still felt like, oh, well, I wonder why this person's saying this. Cause like when it came to like career, like trying to do stuff after that, there was always somebody else having the conversation.
Right.
Like, I trusted having this conversation. So they were kind of like the clear minded person that wasn't coming out of the game. And I was just like, okay, well, yeah, that works. Yeah.
Was there any one thing that was tough to transition back out of the game? Like, you know, some people I've heard talk about the microphone and like trying to realize where their mic pack's on. I've heard people talk about that. Was that a thing, or was there anything like from being in the game that you felt like, fuck, I still do that, and that's not in the house anymore?
I would say not necessarily. Like the mic and all that stuff. I think my toughest thing was just, one, I was on West Coast time. Two, I was staying up till like 7 a.m. West Coast time.
Right.
And so then I came back to the East Coast and I literally would be like sitting around wide awake. And it would be like 6:30 a.m. And I came back home. And so my parents would be getting up to go to work and I'd literally be downstairs and have just finished my like fourth movie, wide awake on my phone, watching a movie. And they'd be like, you've been awake this whole time? And I'd be like, yeah, so I haven't gone to sleep yet. So like that was the hardest thing to kind of like change, like that schedule.
Yeah. But going to the beginning of this though, and you know, I was going to ask both of you guys this, but I'll ask your version of this. Were you a fan of Big Brother? Like, how did you get into this, and then you got to go through this crazy audition process and whatnot. Yeah. What is that like for anybody who's like, you know, in here, this person says, Sammy says that you inspired them and they want to play Big Brother in the future. So what is that experience like, you know, auditioning and going through all of that check and all that stuff that you have to do?
So what happens is I sent my video in And then I had like a personal interview.
Okay. So we got Derek here too.
Dude, that was a struggle. I didn't know if I should log. I was logging on to Safari.
Right. Inappropriate.
Safari is a no-go.
Right.
And then I had to get Chrome, and then my earbuds weren't connecting because I was in the browser. So I had to log. Anyways, I'm here. Sorry for being late.
Oh, it's okay. It's cool, man. Yeah. It's good to have you guys back together. Yeah.
I was saying it earlier. This is the first time we were talking on the phone earlier, Cody and I. It has to be what, Cody, at least 4 years since we've.
Yeah. I said when they wanted to do that package with us on Big Brother 17. That was last time like, we were together answering questions.
Correct. That's right. That's right. So yeah, this was a long overdue, and it's funny with the quarantine, like it's things that probably wouldn't happen otherwise because he's got things going on. I have things going on.
Exactly.
And somebody calls you for an interview. You're like, yes, please. I'll do it.
Yeah. I'll do anything that you got.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is true, man. How is the quarantine treating you, Derek?
Blessing and a curse, right? You know, it's one of those things where you can look at it one way and say, oh, like it sucks having to do like the, distance learning. I have two kids, you know, one's 7. So I'm basically her teacher. But at the same time, it's nice to have that interaction with her all day, because when you're in the daily grind, you know, you drop them off at school, you pick them up, you have dinner, you have maybe watch a TV show, and then it's bedtime. So it's difficult at points, but you got to look at the bright side of it, which it's like this type of family time that we're all getting is unprecedented. So like you have to embrace it because it's not going to last forever. And I guarantee you a lot of people, including myself, will be thinking about these days up 2 months from now when we're back going to work, wishing, saying, like, damn, I wish I was home having breakfast.
You know, quarantine.
So it's I'm just trying to enjoy it while it lasts and, you know, understand that it's a bad time to be in, but there are some positives you can take from it.
Yeah. I do. You made a great point somewhere on Twitter. You said if anybody wanted to know what it was like to live in the Big Brother house, well, now you got it. Now you're learning what quarantine is like. So is it comparable? What's going on?
Oh, man.
Cody, you can take that one.
I personally don't, because like, I can go out, I can get up and get out of my house and go for a run. Like I love going for a run. Like when I get worked up and like I get a little bit like emotional about like this whole situation, like I go for a run. When you're in the Big Brother house, like you go in the backyard and it's about a 25 to 30 yard backyard. So you're just literally running back and forth. And then it's like, okay, now let me go upstairs. Okay, now let me go downstairs. Like you don't get to watch TV. You don't have any distractions other than your housemates and walls where you know there's cameras. So I would say Big Brother is still the toughest quarantine.
Worse than quarantine.
Oh yeah. He's definitely right. He's definitely right. Like I would equate it, and people can be like, oh, you're being dramatic, but it's for every point he just said, I think it's closer to prison than it is quarantine. And I'm not saying it to be funny. Like you think about what you have in prison. It's basically the exact thing, with the exception in prison, you get to make phone calls to your family and you get to watch cable television. You don't even get that in the Big Brother house. Yeah. So it really, I've never been to prison. I never go. But if I did go, I would imagine it would be something like that. So he's right. But if you are not going to go on the show and you're looking for what it would kind of be like, this is a small version of it.
They kind of fuck with you on the show because they have the TV set up. Like we're gonna watch some shit. We're gonna watch nothing.
Yeah, whatever you think Big Brother is, it's worse. The worst part about Big Brother is the downtime, because you see the episodes 3 days a week and you're like, oh wow, it's a commitment to watch this show. Well, try being in there, because you're getting the edited version, and so those 3 days of a week you're seeing, we're basically doing those in 3 days throughout 7. So the question is, what are we doing for the other four? Answer is nothing.
And it's amazing to me that the live feeds blow up the way that they do, because, you know, they're sitting there watching some bullshit conversation that you guys are having about the weather. You know what I mean? And they're hooked in on. Do you think that that's kind of why? And I'm always curious about your take on this. You know, the fans get pretty intense, you know, after you guys get off the show.
Never.
Is it because they feel like they know you because they've spent time, say, watching the live feeds, and they think that they have some perception of you because they spent 24/7 with you for this, you know, 2-3 months or whatever?
Yeah, I definitely think that was one of the things when we would come off and people would come up and be like, remember when you were having this conversation with so-and-so, like, and you said this, I would be like for me, sometimes I was like, I don't even remember that. Like, and I was like, oh yeah. But realistically, like people, like you connected with somebody because of a random conversation you were having that you don't realize, that just watching, and it connects with them to you on a personal level because it's a personal conversation. It's not like how these TV shows are like showing stuff that you're like, oh, I know, it's like scripted, it's an actor. Sure. For us, it's reality. This is a real conversation we're having. And so people literally would be like, oh my God, it was like, I felt like I was there. And we'd be like, I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it's true too. Like, I was a live feeder before I went on the show.
Same. I've been a live feeder. Yeah.
And I know firsthand there were many nights where it's so sad to say this, but like Frank Udy would be at the kitchen table eating a bowl of cereal. And I'd be like, you know what? I think I want a bowl of cereal. Hey. And I'd go grab one and he's sitting there and he's telling the joke. And I'm like, oh, Frank, you're so funny.
Him and Bookie hanging out, right? Him and Mike Bookie.
You feel like you're, like they're shooting shit.
You're in a conversation.
You just can't speak with them, but you feel like you're part of it. So I'm sitting there eating a bowl of cereal, watching them, and I'm feeling like I'm immersed in it with them. So you feel like you know them. And the unfortunate thing is they don't know you. But I think that's the weird thing that Big Brother can do that no other show can do, is because of the live feeds and the unlimited access that they have to us.
Yeah. And you both came into this after a season of just fucking drama. You know, where the live feeds were blowing up and people were saying inappropriate things, however they meant it or whatnot. Were you both super aware of that? Or do you even all of that? Yeah. You know what I mean? But even all of that, are you guys like, you forget, like, here we are. You know what I mean?
No, Derek had me all the time. Even if you started to be like, we're on the camera. Derek was like, always, you'd be like, dude, remember last season? I'd be like, yes.
Yeah, it was.
I remember you guys said that a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah, it was instilled in us too. Like, production reinstilled in us that, like, listen, anything you say, it could be on the show, it could be on the live feeds, and we're gonna, you know, we can't hide it from the viewers. It is what it is. And I think at the end of the day, if you have these biases or opinions or prejudices or whatever it is, for the first 30, 40 days, maybe you can get away with it. But if it's who you are, it's probably going to come out. And so I think it's just one of those things where naturally the people you see in there after 40 days is who they really are. And what we find is sometimes you really like that person and sometimes you don't. And even the people in the house usually find out things about themselves when they come out, because they get to go back and say like, wow, I said that, like that came out of my mouth. Right. So I think with 15, I don't want to like accuse anybody of anything, but I think tempers arised and things were said, and maybe that's how those people felt, or maybe it was ignorance on some of their behalf. Sure. But I do know that some of the people that were the most hated in that house, I won't even say names, are doing very well for themselves now. One of them has a very successful YouTube channel and she has nothing to do with Big Brother anymore. Yeah. She grew from it. And so at the end of the day, I think the people who are in there, whoever they are, as much as you may tell them to watch themselves, it's going to happen. It's going to be that momentary slip where they go back into who they are. And fortunately for us, we didn't have anybody like that in there, so it never really became a thing.
Now, were both of you fans of the show? I think, Cody, you were just answering that question. Were both of you fans of the show, sort of? And you just mentioned that you watched Frank Udy, but how long were you watching the show before you were like, fuck, I'm going for this, I'm going to do this?
So I know Derek, he was a super fan forever. I started watching loosely. I watched season 10 with Dan, but like, I just remember Dan and I remember Jesse on season 10. Then 11,
You got to remember Keisha's birthday if you remember season 10, right?
No, like that's what I'm saying, loosely. Like I barely
falling in the pool.
So right? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
So in season 11, I loved Jeff and Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff was the man. Like Jeff, when I met him, starstruck, like giddy. Like I was laughing during his entire interview because I was just like blushing and was like, dude, I got a man crush on this guy. I love this guy, Jeff.
Yeah, everybody's impossible not to. Yeah.
And then 12, the Brigade, loved it. 13, when everybody came back, loved it.
Yeah.
14, loved it. That's when I fell in love with Boogie, because I didn't know Boogie other than what my dad had talked about. Like, when I watched 14, my dad was like, "You don't even know Boogie. You don't even know Boogie." Yeah. I was like, okay, my bad. I just started watching over there.
That's great.
I liked it, but I wasn't like day one always watched Big Brother. But I definitely loved the show. And I watched 15 in college, my senior year with my buddy, and we were like, dude,
what happened here?
This is bad. Like, yeah. People are our age. So yeah. It's like, you know, the next season I was wild.
What about you? What about you, Derek?
I stumbled on it one night while I was going through Showtime. Like, you know how it was a Showtime After Dark? Yeah. And it was like, I flipped the channel and I felt like I like stumbled into someone's like security system that I wasn't supposed to be watching. And it was actually
totally
Reagan.
Plays into your whole cop thing, by the way.
it was Reagan, and he was sitting there like staring off into space. And all of a sudden it was just, I'm like, what is this? He's not saying anything. And then all of a sudden he goes, "Are we allowed to swear on this, by the way?"
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. He goes, "That fucking bitch." And out of nowhere, I was like, "What is this?" And he was talking about Rachel.
Right.
So
yeah.
I watched the rest of the live feed, and then I Googled what Big Brother was, because it said, you know, watch the episodes. So I watched the rest of that season. Then I went back, and because obviously you start doing a little research and everyone says go watch 10. Yeah, so yeah. I watched 10, and then I kind of followed it from probably 12 on, you know what I mean? Or 13 yeah. on, whatever it was. And I didn't really like a study it until we were in the sequester hotel, and they give you a DVD player and access to every season. And they say, you know, what season do you want?
Yeah.
So they literally say, what season do you want? And I know this isn't going to come as a shocker to anyone, but I was like, I want them all, you know? Right. So I just tried to watch
them. What are you going to do when you're in that hotel? Right. You know,
there's nothing, there's no TV. Yeah. You're not allowed to watch the hotel TV.
Wow.
So you get a DVD player, coloring books. And I think I had Play-Doh or something, and a deck of cards. That's it.
No music. Laptop, no iPad, no electronic whatsoever.
Nope, because they're obviously releasing the cast at that point. Sure. And so you have no access to anything. So all you really can do is watch movies or former Big Brother seasons. That's it. So, so I wasn't like studying
like quarantine. You know what I mean? That's more of the true quarantine. You're in lockdown. You can't even go probably get a drink at the bar. You know what I mean?
Nothing. No. By that time, you're begging for them to put you in the house. You're please God, let me see other people. Like, I think that's why on night one, everyone's genuinely so excited about seeing each other. Because what you're not realizing is all those people that are like seeing each other for the first time as they enter the house, they literally haven't seen another human being in 5 days.
Yeah.
So like, oh my God, you're human. Great. You know,
so fascinating. I was going to, we were just kind of getting into like, you know, I don't even know what a Big Brother season would look like this year, given the whole COVID and all that stuff. I'm gathering there's going to be a season. I'd hope anyway, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would think so. You know, I think there's other ways to get around it. You know, I know that Robin was doing some serious heavy casting before this process. And it is a strenuous process, but she's an expert at it. So if this thing kind of broke down in the next couple of weeks, she could get some top contestants within a matter of a week or two. Like, she knows who's has it and who doesn't. And then the other angle is the obvious, just bring back all returning players.
Yeah, please. I would now
cut out the cast and just get the returning players in there.
Okay. Now while we're here on that topic, would either of you go back and play Big Brother again? What's that? Cody,
can you even see us?
Are you guys like cutting out? Like,
no, we can see you perfectly.
Yeah, you sound and look fantastic. So, yeah.
You hear me? You guys hear me?
Yeah,
you guys keep cutting out. What is happening? This is the first time I've like had
log out and log back in.
Sometimes you have to log out and log back in. Yeah.
We'll wait for you. Go.
Yeah. Anyway, what were you saying?
I mean, like, for, you know, it's a really deep conversation, because there's so many other variables other than like, would you come back? The simple explanation would be it depends on.
Here we go. You good, Cody?
My network connection. I don't know what's happening.
Okay. Don't mess this up when we're playing Call of Duty. Get the connection figured out by then. He still can't hear us. I can tell by his. I know him.
He's doing the CNN thing where the you know what I mean. There's a delay on the feed or whatever. Are you watching it? You're watching it in the StreamYard, not on the Facebook page, right?
Yeah, no, I came. Yeah, I did the StreamYard thing.
All right, cool. Because you don't want to watch it with a delay. Anyway,
I'm moving my computer. I think I got a better connection, so I think.
We hear you. I hear you perfectly right now.
Now you're great. Yeah. All right. So back to that question about would you go back?
We didn't get him off of it.
No, everybody just watching this is probably like they want to know that answer. Would you go back and play Big Brother, particularly this year?
Cody, you go first.
Yeah, I always say it because like a lot, you see a lot of these contestants like bouncing around all over the place, and like there were opportunities to do other shows, and like I just like Big Brother was like my show, and I was like, you know what, like if I got asked back, it would only be like, you know, if it would be like a coaches, and like I would never be able to say no to Big Brother, but you know, All Stars is like, I don't know, everybody like wants it, but it hasn't happened since season 7, and then like there's so many seasons between, so but like. I would love to play it again because now I'm past that point of like my head was a mess.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like I've like settled it down. And then even after my brother went on it, I was like, oh my God. Like, and it was, my brother did not get a good edit. Like he came off and wasn't the same as how I went on. I was like, just seeing what it does for people, I was like, man, but I mean, I love the game. And that's why I say it to Derek all the time. I'm like, dude, I can't believe you played this show. Like I'm in awe. Like I would never be able to say no. But
yeah. And what about you, Derek? I guess everybody wants to know that. Listen, man, I'm going to tell you, and you know that you walked yourself into a conversation of the best, you know?
I mean, and
props to Cody because that is a combo. You know what I mean? Like the guys that are gals that are the best, there is always a team effort that got them there. So it's not a one player mission, you know?
Yeah. And I can say that and people are like, oh, he's just saying it because that's his friend. But like literally name a great player.
Yeah.
Who didn't have that part. Will
and Shannon, you know, Dan, you know, and his.
And Boogie.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
Dan in Memphis, you know, Casey and Tyler, like there's always that tandem.
Yeah.
And you don't get to the end by yourself.
It's reversed, by the way, very easily. Yeah. The votes
go the other way. You're talking about Cody being one of the best ever and me being the guy who helped get him there. It's sure. That simple. I truly believe that.
But now, okay. You know, with that conversation, Will has come back and Dan has come back.
Yeah. You know, for me, And I know a lot of people don't agree with this. Like I went on the show when my only daughter was very young, and it was a bucket list of mine to have the opportunity to experience Big Brother. And I went there, and every bucket list that you would have inside the Big Brother house, I checked off. Yeah. You know, played in the POV, played in the HOH, got zinged by Zingbot.
Never went to sequester and was voted out.
That's one I'm all set with. Pull the blind side, you know.
All of it.
I got to play the whole game from start to finish, experience everything, and I won. So you have to ask yourself, like, what would be the motive for me going back? And that's to answer your question. It's like, you know, I hear some players say, you know, I want to see him go back to play again. Well, that's a whole different conversation because what's the metric we're using? Because for me, the best metric to use as who do you think's good and who isn't is to use their first season because they're all on the same playing field. They all didn't know what it was like going in there. And usually when they come back a second season, there's some twist. So, for example, like Dr. Will. Dr. Will went on his first season, played great, won, and then came back for an All-Stars. He played against the best. Yeah. You know, I personally, you know, I would like to see Dan Giesling play again. Because Dan Giesling is an amazing player. He's a great player. But you can't compare his second season to Will Kirby, who played on an All-Star season. Will Kirby was eligible for eviction from night one. And Dan had like 8 weeks to like get in with these fans who loved him before ever playing the game. And if anyone knows Big Brother, that's a huge, huge advantage.
Yeah, totally.
So depending on if I came back, you know, if it was a coach's season, maybe I would come back for a coach's season because that's kind of comparable apples to apples. Would I come back for an All-Stars? Probably, you know, the competitor in me, I probably would, but I would really hope that if I came back, I don't know if Will would because he already played All-Stars, but maybe like a Dan would come back. You know, to have us in the same arena at the same time. Like, how else are you going to really compare two fighters?
I can't even imagine what a season like that looks like with you know, all of you guys in there. Robin cast that. That's impossible. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there, even in the last 3 years, 4 years, there's been some incredible players, you know, and whether you, you know, whatever you think about him or not, Paul, you know,
he's a great player. He deserves, if there was, let's just assume there was an All-Stars.
He has to be in it.
He's got to be there. You know, if we're going from season seven on, which was All-Stars, I believe, six or seven, you got to think about everybody after that point. And the first names that start to come up is like the Dan, the Haydens, Vanessa Russo, Casey, Tyler, Paul. I mean, you could go on and on. It doesn't have to be all winners.
Yeah, sure.
So it would depend, to answer your question, it would depend on the format. It would depend on the theme. It would depend on the players. It would depend on the length of the game. But it would be difficult to turn down if all those stars aligned.
Yeah. And then and enough. And with this, the virus scenario that's happening right now, it's not out of the realm of possibility that it make sense to just cast what, you know, what's available and as opposed to trying to go through a whole process of, you know, casting, because you can't do casting calls maybe traditionally. Right.
Right. There's no writer. The writer's strike caused the All-Stars last time. You know, and this could be something that does it again. They know us.
Yeah.
They could bring if they're going to do returning players, if they're going to do second shot, they could do first out. There's so many options. Those people have already been vetted. You call them up. You interested? Are you not? Get out here. Do a medical. Do a psych. And they're ready to go.
So for people that are watching that want to join a season that, you know, ate cereal with you, right? What do you tell them? I mean, I know that's a cliche question, but I feel like they don't understand the process of getting on the show. It is not as easy as you might imagine, right? It's like you just put your audition tape in, and oh fuck, I'm gonna be one of the people that get casted. It's a process.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what other people don't realize is, like, even though it's a reality show, like, they're casting characters. And they want this kind of character. They want this kind of character that people can relate to. But, like, if you go in and try to be that character, they read through that in a half a second. They don't need you to try to be, like, the next Derek. They just want you to have your reasoning why you think you're going to win. And they need to connect you to, like, this kid could be the next Derek.
Yeah.
They don't want somebody to, like I just use our season because we have big personalities. Like,
big time.
You know, like, Zach was – if you meet Zach, like, that is who he was. Like, he wasn't, like, pretending to be who he was. So, like, you can't walk in and be like, I'm going to be like that person, and then try to be, like, over the top and loud. They'll be like, that was inauthentic, and that's the last thought I have about that person, moving on to this one. So you have to just be yourself and be authentic to why you think you'll be good for the show and hope that it fits a piece of the puzzle that they want.
Right.
Yeah, and I would just say, cliche again, you know, be yourself, but be a version of yourself that's interesting. So for me, like, I was myself. I talked about my family and friends and my profession, but I really emphasized on the fact that I was an undercover detective.
Yeah,
that was what differentiated me from other people, or at least I thought it would. I didn't know how many other cops were applying. So you got to go in there with kind of like a game plan. But like Cody said, it's got to be real. You can't go in there and say I'm an astronaut. If you're not an astronaut, you got to go in there with an interesting story. And the reality is, if you haven't done anything interesting, or you really don't have, you know, your chances are less. Your chances are less of getting in. If you're just a normal person who is, you know, 21 years old, just figuring themselves out, they're going to probably have one or two young partiers in there, but the pool is a lot bigger. So you want to try to find a way to shrink the pool of people that fit your character, because, like Cody, and this is, I'm just saying, I don't look like Cody. So I didn't go in there saying that I'm the ladies' man. I'm a model, because they already got that guy, and he's a lot better than me. So right. I gotta go with my lane, which is the family guy, detective, you know, trying to win. So find out, you know, be honest with yourself and try to
you're saying, like, amp your personality up, you know,
emphasize what you think is fascinating. They'll let you know pretty quick if it's fascinating or not. You have multiple interviews during the process and they send people home after every interview.
Yeah.
So if you hit on something and you stay the next round, keep going with that, because you're doing something right. You got them interested. Mm-hmm. You got them intrigued. Find ways to make that new and relevant, because you're going to be in front of a different group of people the next time.
Now, on that note, in that process, did you guys run into anybody that was inevitably cast in the processes of doing the interviews and whatnot? Did you see, like, I don't know, did you see somebody like Nicole or something? And, you know, while you...
Oh, okay, I got you now, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, while you were, you know, going through the interview
process. Are you talking about that, Derek? Do you know? Like,
yeah, we're not on the contract. I'll say it. Yeah. No, I was...
I was waiting for the voice in the Big Brother house to say you're not allowed to talk about production.
Yeah. No,
I talked about Derek because he had two earrings and when they were talking, they were like, who are some of the people around you think? I was like, I don't know. I saw a guy with two earrings out there. Like, that's a guy that I just wouldn't like get along with. Like, I was with Frankie and I was like, I feel like I could get along with Frankie. Like, I think we would do well. Like, I know he's going to be like loud and like get along with everybody, and that'll kind of let me sneak underneath him. If we're the two, maybe they'll go for him first. And so I told Derek that. I was like, bro, like, dude, I brought you up when they were asking me about the people out there because you had the two earrings. He goes, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
I knew now is like Derek really said that. He was like, all right, you little punk. Okay.
Yeah, no, you near the end, you're kind of all with each other. You can't talk to each other, but you the final stage is at CBS. So you have to drive in a van together. And I remember opening the van door and there was a bearded man there with overalls on and just tapped on the seat. And he was like the seat's open. It was Donnie. But again, right. You never talked to him. But I remember coming home and telling my wife, like, if I get on the show and that bearded dude's in there, I'm going to work with him. Cause he just seemed like a genuinely a nice person. Little did I know we'd be going at each other's necks the whole game. But
yeah, I mean, also like for the whole America's team, you were sort of at one point having to work together. Right.
Yeah. Well, we liked the missions. I think we liked being selected by America, but I think Donnie would agree with this. And even Frankie would it have been the two that I would have picked? I probably would have picked Frankie just because, you know, I was close with him, but more importantly, his following with Ariana. But I absolutely would. I was already so tight with Cody at that point. It like sucked that I was making money and he wasn't. But, you know, I knew everybody knew like Donnie was the most favorite person in the house. Like, I don't care how out of it or out of touch you were. Like, everyone knew 90% of America was hoping that he would slit all our throats and win the game.
Yeah.
You know, it was just the reality of it.
We talk in the house. We'd be like, oh, you think everyone hates us right now because you know Donnie's loved. We would say it all the time. We're like, bro, we're putting him on the block again. Like, we're going to be hated by America. America's going to hate us. We would say that constantly. Like, you could tell, like, his story was building just by being in the house. You're like, this guy goes on the block, he wins a veto, he comes off. Oh, and then he gets put on again because, you know, nobody's going to vote for you, Donnie. So now he's got to sit on the block again. And we'd be like, bro, we're going to be hated. America's going to hate us.
But so, not. I mean, you know, I mean, there's a respect, I think, now for the both of you, right? That formed afterwards, which is.
Oh, yeah. Donnie showed up to my book signing in North Carolina unexpectedly, just showed up to surprise me. We went out to dinner after. I think I speak for Cody when I say it's like, there's no hard feelings. We all get along. And we actually, I don't want to spoil it, but Jocasta put together something that might be coming out that we all kind of did with each other for the quarantine. But it's one of those things where we're all like, some of us are closer than others, but I can honestly say there's not a single beef internally between anyone from our house.
Right. What about Victoria?
What about her?
On that note, well, I always feel bad for the person that is in that third place spot. That's the suckiest spot of all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, for every season, when you see that person hit third, you're like, fuck, shit. You know what I mean? Like, because they get nothing. You'd almost wish that they give them 10 bucks at least, minimally, or something. You know what I mean? That would be the toughest thing for both of you guys.
What?
Eliminating...
Sending her home, probably not for Cody.
No, God, no. Everybody thinks it was such a hard. They were like, "You should have taken Victoria," and I was like, "You don't understand." Like Derek was my day one. Like, and if you're just watching like the main show, like they don't like Derek and I would like have so many conversations, and we were very conscious when to have the conversations, but they would be important combos, and like. Would split up and like he literally came to me and we were talking in the bathroom on the second day. And I was like, he like did something. So like the alliance was forming and Derek kind of was getting brought into it before they came and spoke to me. And I was kind of feeling. And so he came to me and was like, bro, I like you. Like, I think you're a good kid. I think you're honest. You're from Jersey. We have that East Coast connection. Like, let me go talk. Like, and see what I, and he like went up and he talked and he came down and he was like, they're going to come talk to you. I got you. And I was like, this is my guy. I was like, he literally was like big brother. Oh, no, no pun intended. He was like older brother, took care of the younger guy that he like liked. And then for me, we were like, yo, we got to come up with names. And we were trying to come up with names forever and getting shot down for like copyright reasons.
Oh, but
they didn't like show our bond until like a little bit down the road when it became more of like, okay, this is a storyline. Like when Team America kind of was breaking apart, and that was a big, obviously, storyline. Then they started showing us more. But him and I like had millions of convos every time because he won HOH week three. I then won it the next week. And so like we were like making those decisions and talking in ways that I wasn't talking to anybody else. And so like
No, dude, we became – it's so weird to say it, and I know it sounds fake now because the show – it's easy to go back and say what it was, like Monday morning quarterback it, but like we genuinely – that's why we're so tight still. Like as hard as it is to believe, we became genuine friends in there. That's just – I don't know how to describe it. Like there were members that I was alliance members with and now I'm friends with now. But there were people – he was the only person where I was like, I know regardless of what happens – we're going to be friends for life. Like there's just too much there. It's just weird that we never would have met.
The East Coast connection's a thing, you know?
And well, I think the family thing, I like that he's so close with his family. I'm close with my family. And you only meet certain people in your life in college or whatever it is that like really a ride or die for you, like would take a fist to the mouth for you. You know what I mean? Like, and we were that for each other, but not to like bro hug it out right here. Like as far as Victoria was concerned, it kind of does line up because I loved Victoria. Like she was great to me. She was like a little sister. But if I'm being real about it, I felt more bad about sending Caleb home than Victoria because I felt like Caleb did a lot to get himself where he was.
Yes.
And if he would have won the game, he would have been deserving.
Yes.
Like he was a good player. Where Victoria, and he was good
with you guys too, right?
We struggled over that code. Am I right? Like I know that hurt you.
I think, right? Like maybe we just send Victoria. Like, I can't believe we're going to bring her to final two. And he like was like, bro, there's a physical comp that you know is coming immediately.
You made the right move.
She's not beating us. She's not beating us in any aspect of the final competitions. It's a walk-in. And it was like I had that like emotion, like, man, we're going to cut this kid. Cause I had the power and Derek was the HOH. Like we had it all. And Derek was like, dude, bad game move. Can't be the thing. And I was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. And like, that's why it's like, you need someone. Cause like, what if I don't have that bond with Derek. And in that moment, I'm questioning, like, I don't know, like, what if Derek, like, I don't know, is he going to take me? Like, I didn't have to question it. It was like, you're right. That's the right game move. We got to cut him.
And Caleb would have taken me.
Genuinely good dude, Caleb.
He grew on all of us. He got even better as the season went on and he focused on the game. And, like, we started to break down that wall. And, like, you know, when he cut his hair, he, like, became really humble because he didn't have that to fall on.
Yeah.
And, like, such a good dude. And we were – the three of us were super close.
Yeah.
And I just knew from the conversations that if Caleb won that final HOH, the final three, he was taking me. And everything we did was wrong. So I couldn't say that to Cody, but I knew –
yeah,
We didn't want him there. And so Victoria, love her to death, but like she got far in the game because of moves that I was making and even everybody Cody was making.
Yeah, totally.
And so we needed to have people there that deserved it. And Caleb probably deserved it more than her, but it was too much of a risk to me and Cody. So I felt we were talking about our families being there in the crowd, right? Remember that, Cody?
Oh my God.
Like, dude, it was brutal. He was like, I can't wait for my mom to be there.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Is there a moment like, okay, like you guys are both fans prior to the show and, you know, obviously you guys are dreaming about getting on the show. That's the first battle, right? You want to get on and you want to impress everybody and you want to at some point you're in the show. Is there a moment that both of you have that are like, what the fuck? I'm on the show. You know what I mean? Like where you're like, dude, this is crazy. Like, I'm here and I'm playing this and I'm doing this. Is there a moment that you guys had like that?
I know mine. I want to hear Derek's.
For me, I honestly think it was probably the day we were doing the beach photos. Because, like, I've seen those photos so many times. Totally. And, like, to see people posing. And I'm, like, I'm watching them do it. And I'm also thinking, like, fuck, how am I going to take off my shirt in front of them? Because I got people like Cody taking a shirt off. But, like, I was, like, those photos I look forward to every year, and we're doing them. I'm going to do one for me. Like, that was probably the moment. And that was like, that's before the feeds turn on. Totally. So that was like first week. And I was just like, yo, I'm like, we're playing the game. Like, it's on. Like, it's really happening.
Like, do you feel like, and I'll let Cody answer that question, but Derek, I mean, were you playing the game at that point too during the photo shoot? Does it go back?
I honestly thought I was toast that first week because, honestly, like, again, like, it's like a high school when you first start and only the popular kids get to hang out together. And that was that the beach photos were even before the bomb squad formed. And like, Caleb, Devin are like ridiculously good looking guys. Yeah. And then you have Amber, Brittany, like, just like, they're just like, they don't look normal. And Cody too, like, and they're all hanging out with each other. Like, like they look like they're moving in slow motion when the water's going and shit. So they were all like hanging out with each other. They're all single. And I'm like, I'm sitting in the corner with Jocasta, Donnie and Christine. And literally I'm like, yo, we're all going home. And I even, to not get too off the like beaten path, I thought I was going home because the next like day or two, I tried to start an alliance with those three called the Outsiders. And the day I did it, that night, Zach came up to me, Cody, and Caleb at the table. Was like, yo, just so you know, some of the outcasts are trying to start an alliance called the Outsiders. And I never said anything again to Jocasta or Donnie. I was like, done, not saying anything.
I'll just
try to outlast them. And I got lucky in the sense that within like 2 days of feeling like that, Caleb and Devin summoned me up to their room to start this alliance called the Bomb Squad. And I was like, thank you, God. Like, I know I'm at the bottom of the totem pole, but at least I'm on the pole. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. I'm in the game, and we can maybe, I can develop some relationships now.
That was probably a critical point in the game for you too.
Yeah. Cody, what was your moment? I'm interested now.
Bro, filed onto the stage and here comes Julie.
Good call.
Playing Big Brother, when she walks in just immaculate, walks out, like, perfect posture, which I'd never, like, normally, like, she's
an incredible posture, right?
And just face to the camera. Hello, house guest. I was like, that for me, done. I was playing Big Brother. I was like, oh my God, I'm here.
Facts. That's it. You're right. When you have your bag.
Yeah.
Right. You're right. Good call.
Couple bag. I still use it. I don't have a bag.
I feel like when when I watch both of you guys playing, you guys are always kind of processing information, and then whether you guys were individual, like talking to somebody, and then you guys would compare notes later on about what kind of conversation that you had. I'm wondering when Frankie told you that he was this YouTube sensation, all this stuff, because I was watching Derek, you were computing so much. It looked like you were computing so much information in your brain when he was revealing this to you. What were you thinking at that point about Frankie when he drops this bomb? I'm Frankie, my sister is Ariana Grande, the whole nine.
Honestly, I think I was always looking immediately like how I could use it to my advantage. And the best thing was, like, we all knew there was someone in the house that wasn't who they said they were. We initially thought it was Donnie. And then for Frankie to come out and say this, I was like, oh my God, I'm golden now. Like, because, you know, like, they're not going to think it's me. They didn't think it was me already, but now he's the person who is hiding his identity. I honestly don't think the Ariana Grande thing affected me for maybe like a week, where I was like, wow, he's going to, like, I'm sure America's rooting for him, but I already knew about Team America. And so it just made more sense to me about Team America after that. But I honestly still was like plotting with Cody to get him out immediately after that. I was like, oh, okay. He's still not right. He's not next, but he's on the list regardless. Cause forget Ariana Grande. He was like a really scary, dangerous player. Totally. And we wanted him out because he could win any comp.
And that was the thing that like drew it. And that's for me. Like, I was like, he was revealing it, and like I was like, wow, he brought us in the room, and like he didn't bring everybody.
It looked like it was a very serious moment that you were all.
Derek, Zach, Caleb, and I, first ones he wanted to reveal this to. And I just remember sitting there being like I looking around, I'd be like, I hope, like, guys, we tried to throw a competition to get this guy out. Like, I understand, but like, we still gotta get this guy out, right? Like, please don't tell me you guys are all gonna flip flop on this. Like, he's a beast.
Yeah,
like, winning at the other HOH and then not remaining HOH with the bonds that he was forming and still staying in the house off the block. Like, this kid, he was a beast.
Yeah.
Was there a moment for either of you when you're playing where you're starting to compute how you think things may play out, right? I mean, you know, this might happen, this should happen. But is there a moment where you're like, well, I didn't see that happening? Is there something like that for you where it just like sort of threw you off? Not off your plan, but just like, well, now we have to adjust. That's a good
wow. Do you have one, Cody?
I would say that kind of threw, this was like, we always talk about, this was like the make or break decision that kind of threw, because we were literally inside of the Bomb Squad Alliance that even dwindled down. We stayed in that group. And then there was the other side of the house, which was the Hayden, Nicole, Donnie, Jocasta was still in the house at the time. And Derek and I were in that alliance, like in that group as well. And so the one that really threw was when that decision had to be made. And it was like, shit, we're no longer friends with everybody.
Right.
Like that was like, okay, now we're not friends with everyone in the house. We just showed where we were at. And I remember Hayden came back and said to Nicole, Cody and Derek, go after them. When Nicole, yep. We were like, so like, that was like the point where it kind of was like, cause everything else was smooth sailing. Like we hadn't been nominated. We were tight with everybody. Like our name there came up in a conversation, like whoever won HOH, it was always a comfortable combo. And then that was a deciding, like, okay, we got to choose here, like, because it's about to roll in deep. Because, like, this side thinks we're going, this side thinks we are. Like, where's our vote going?
Yeah. Yeah, mine's easy. It was like, it was the way it went down. It was, we had a plan in place that Christine was going to throw the HOH with Donnie in the box. And I had my two closest allies on the same team. And I was like, there ain't no way Caleb and Cody are losing to Donnie and Christine, who's throwing it to him. I was like, but we didn't know what was going on in the box.
Right.
So when freaking Cody and Caleb came out of that box, and I knew that
it was written on our face,
I was like, what just happened? Cause I wasn't concerned about getting dethroned. I was like, dude, unless one of us wins the veto, one of my guys are going home this week, like for the first time. So that was probably the biggest one for me. And also I think when, like Cody just said, when Devin blew up the bomb squad and we were kind of like still establishing ourselves with everyone, I was scrambling. Cause I was like, damn, I've been like cool with Brittany and Amber and all these other people. And like Devin just pulled Brittany in the room and told her that she wasn't a part of Alliance that I'm a part of. And I've been telling her all along that I got her back no matter what. So I was like, damn, that's why she went so early. Cause we lost her after that, unfortunately.
In your pre-interview, they showed that in the finale too, Derek. They showed your pre-interview, which I don't think they've ever done before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A finale shows someone's tape. But you said you were going to profile people and all this stuff. Now, we were saying that because you wanted to get casted, but did you do some of that with some of the people when you?
Dude, 100%. Every one of us profile people every day, like not to that extreme or not maybe using that terminology, but you're reading people like, you know, you do a lot of film, you do a lot of directing, right? You're an actor, like you're reading someone and you can tell when someone comes on set to your set, like, are they trying to gain followers? Are they really into the craft? Are they trying to be better? Do they think they're already better than every other actor or actress on set? Mm-hmm. Like, so you already know what their motives and what they think of everyone else is. So all I would do is take that information and try to use it to, you know, either bond with them or use it against them by telling someone else. That's the only difference.
Yeah, no, I mean, it totally makes sense for you to do that. Cody, what about you? Were you doing anything like that as you had conversations and stuff? Like, because there's the thing about Big Brother that's fascinating is there's an emotional element to it, too. Right. So there's the side of it where you can do that and say he wants this, he wants that, she wants this, she wants that. And you can compute that. But then there's an emotional side. Like Donnie is a decent guy, right? Yeah. You like Caleb's a decent guy. You want it, but
for sure.
But so then you have to still stick with the plan, which I imagine is not easy.
Yeah. See, I wasn't. And again, I think it's a lot of things. Derek's profession just like lined him up for the show. Like just analyzing people. Like I was 23. I graduated college in May the year before, and like profiling people, like, I don't know, I was in college. Like I didn't profile people. I was like, you know, I was being profiled in my job interviews. Like, and when I was in sales, I would kind of just go and like either get told to fuck off or like actually have a combo. It wasn't me profiling anybody. Like, cause sales was like paint by numbers, walk in, get it, no, don't go into this one. Phone calls. Like, profiling people, like, wasn't a thing I was actually good at. And I never used that in my interview process. Cause like, if I said it, I would be completely lying. Like, I could talk to you. And again, I think that you said like the Jersey thing, like, I like you until you make me not like you. Like, right. I'm not gonna not like you right off the rip. I like you till I don't. And you caused me not liking you.
Yeah.
So for me, it got a lot of emotion because Derek was always that, like, dude, your emotion is here. Your thinking is down here. You need to balance it. Like the 1 week for me, like I was the HOH, the person that was on the block, like Caleb threw away winning the veto to win money. And I was like, it made me so mad. I was like, you just screwed up my HOH. Like it was smooth sailing. Like you literally handed the HOH or the veto to Donnie. Dude, I got to put him up. And Derek was like, dude, that's a person of our squad. Like that's trust that you're going to break. Like you're not gonna be able to gain that back. And the reason why down the line, this is how you don't know it plays out. 8 weeks later, Caleb was like, not putting Cody on the block. He's never put me up. And so it's like, you need to like, so me like reading people and reading situations as a 23-year-old, it wasn't like all there. Mine was all like emotion and, you know, and that's why I always say like Derek was my rock, like trusted. I knew every time he said something, it was like he had my interest again. Like he has his best interest, but like the next best interest he had was me. And I always felt that. And so like, I knew when it came from him, I was like, all right, you're thinking emotionally, like Italian hot-headed temper.
Right.
I don't think like
a little bit like Joe Pesci. And
you know, so yeah. I would say I was opposite of Derek in the sense of like my, I always say Derek's brain's like a computer. Like it's always going.
Yeah.
Always like analyzing, like what is going on here with this situation? Like what, and for me, it was just like retaining information. And then I would just like come and like Derek and I would have our late night combo and I would like word vomit it all out. Like what are the combos I had today? And Derek would be like sifting through stuff. And that's why I felt like our combo was just like,
yeah. You know. Going back to the conversation about past players and all that stuff, where did either of you have, you know, after you started watching the seasons in the hotel or wherever you watched them, were there influences? Were there players that you were like, I like what he did here. I like what she did here. I don't want to do that. I got to avoid stuff like that. Were there moments or stuff that you saw that for either of you, Cody, maybe you first on that, was there a player or someone that you were like, fuck, I would like to play a game like that?
Not specifically a player because I was watching and I watched like a few of the seasons, but like, I didn't want to like engulf myself in it. And I think this is why a lot of people come in and they like play a million miles an hour right off the rip.
Totally.
I just for myself was like, I don't want to be that guy that like comes in, forms the huge alliance and then is gone week two because right. Like, he's just like playing to it. Cause like you saw it in every season, Big Brother is literally the same. The alliance forms, the person that is the front runner of that ends up overplaying their hand week two. And by like week two or week three, they're gone. And I was like, don't be that guy.
In theory, Dan, in Dan's season 10, he did overplay his hand early, but then somehow shifted himself out of that spot. But he definitely overplayed his hand. What about you, Derek?
Yeah, there was a few people. I mean, none of them were former detectives. And I knew I wanted to go in there and kind of treat it like an undercover op. Because that's what I knew the best. So yeah. I just wanted to go in there and kind of do my own thing. But I definitely watched, you know, a bunch of the seasons and said to myself, like, who, if I don't win or if I win, who would I want? Who was I rooting for? Like, who played the game the right way in my eyes? And, you know, people who came to mind were like Jeff Schroeder, like Cody had said earlier, you know, Frank Udy, Dan Giesling, you know, like guys that like, yeah, one of them won, the other two didn't, but like, they did it the right way. You know, they all could have won and I would have been extremely happy for all of them. But like Jeff was just like this ball of life and everyone loved him, but he just didn't have the strategy Dan had. And then Frank Udy was a beast at competitor, you know, competitions, but didn't have as strong of a game as Jeff, you know? So I tried to take a little bit of a playbook from everyone. I think you're a fool not to, like, right. There's an ongoing recipe book being built about Big Brother. And I would think that the players playing now in these most recent seasons are taking something from pages that hopefully we did, and they're growing that book. And so that's why the game, in my opinion, every year is harder than the next or the previous, because they now have a whole nother group of players mm-hmm. to learn and study from and adapt to their own game.
All right, we got some questions here from social media. Are you guys still friends with Christine?
I honestly, I haven't, because we have a group chat going. I haven't spoke to Christine in a long time. I haven't spoken in a long time.
I don't talk to her every day. The last time I talked to her was in Las Vegas. It was like the what the heck were we out there for? It was like a reality weekend where we were doing like poker tournaments and stuff in Vegas. And I knew she was going to be there. And I went to like the pool and she was sitting in like one of the cabanas. And like, we just had like this huge hug. Cause like, it's an instant someone you know, and you really know. And we hugged it out and like, she's doing her own thing. Like she went through a lot after the show. Everybody knows that. Yeah. And you know, she got divorced and now she's dating someone and like, she's gone through a lot. She's gone through a lot, but like Christine was always cool to Cody and I. And again, like I said earlier, we can't lie about it. Like I'm not best friends with everyone because if it wasn't for the show, there are a few people that I just, you know, we're just different people. I'm a lot older than some of them. So it's no ill will towards anyone, but yeah, I don't talk to her every day. No.
Gotcha. Okay. Here's another one. Out of everyone in BB16, who do you think could be on All Stars? Obviously, I got two people right here.
Yeah, we're going to get murdered for this one because I'm so subjective.
Caleb.
1,000%.
I think
there's more. Frankie, 1,000%. No. Nicole. Yeah. Nicole just kind of won her second season. So,
yeah.
I mean, again, some people might, you know, like Nicole was a threat to us in our season. Like we didn't trust her because she could win comps. And then when she came back twice, or she came back once, we had to get her out again.
And then won the HOH.
Yep. And then
won the HOH with Christine. And then like, I mean, thankfully Christine ended up backstabbing her and sending her out because she was good.
Yep. Yeah. So I think those are the main ones, right?
All right. We have one here from Pauly. Does Cody get UAL? What does that mean? I'm so curious when that popped in here.
Oh, that's your brother for sure then, because it's UAL. That's our that's got to be the Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's our gamer tag. That's that goes back.
Sorry,
that's something that goes back to like way back in high school. Next question. I can't answer what it means.
Oh my god, I gotta know now later.
RIP Johnny, that's my guy right there. So
okay, I don't know how to answer this question, how you're gonna answer this question, but how do you get no one to realize that you were never on the block? I guess that's a fair question though.
That's a good question.
Yeah,
you're asking me like how I get that. I mean, I think you do. You just embrace it. Like honestly, there's a lot of luck to it too, right? And so if I'm assuming that was meant like if I go back, you know, put me on the block, I'm not going to care. You know, like the best thing about being a good player is not getting too high, not getting too low. If I go home week one because they put me on the block, then so be it. Life goes on. It's just a game. Just like the NFL athletes, the people who do it the best are the ones who don't take it too serious. And so I don't think you try to ignore it. I think you embrace it. And if someone came to me and said, Derek, you know, I got nothing against you, but I'm putting you on the block because you've never been there and we're getting that out of the way right away. Obviously, I would prefer not to be, but if it happens, it happens. I think if I went back, that would be a topic of conversation, and I think it would look disingenuous to try to like avoid it and just pretend like it didn't happen.
Do you have – I mean, I'm not asking you for the strategy. Do either of you have a strategy if you both went back and played a second time? I'm not going to ask you for the strategy because that would be – someone's going to watch it and be like, he said he was going to do this.
Yeah, week one, easy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have one because I've said before, I don't know how good of a big brother player I am because I honestly treated the game more like an undercover investigation than like big brother. Right. So going back again, I'd have to play big brother because now everybody knows me and knows what I've done. So I truly don't have a strat. I really genuinely don't. And like, it would not surprise me in the least if I was the first one to go home. I honestly, it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I mean, if you remember All Stars, that's just something that Dr. Will wrestled with, right? He thought that he was going, he totally thought that any day he would be the first one gone. And he went pretty long. And I'm sure Dan probably thought that too.
Yeah. Well, Dan, like I said, Dan was safe for the first 8 weeks.
That's right.
I mean? Like, so we don't really know that's what I'm saying. Like Will went in very early on and, you know, he got ahead, but he might've got lucky. I don't remember All Stars too much, but I don't know how he got past those first couple of weeks, but it's honestly just luck. You just got to hope that someone else paints a bigger target on their back than you. And if nobody does that, they're going to start comparing statistics. And if you've never been nominated and you won and there's only two of those people in the house, process of elimination, you're going on the block. It's that simple. So you just got to hope there's a tiff that happens in those first 2 weeks, because you're in there about a week and a half before the first nomination. It's a full week and a half. And you just got to hope that someone blows up. And usually that happens, but there's a real possibility it doesn't. And then you're just, you know, you're going home.
I asked Cody this before you came on, Derek. When you left the house, when you finally get out, how difficult is it to sort of transition back into regular life?
I mean, it's difficult. I think, like, I had, like, not to the extreme of, like, what you would have, you know, but, like, it's kind of like the movie Castaway. For anyone who's seen Castaway with Tom Hanks, like, you become conditioned to waking up and the first thing you're doing is grabbing your mic pack before you brush your teeth. You're becoming conditioned to whispering when there's nobody else around, but you don't know if they can hear you. You become conditioned to, you know, being told stop that if you talk about the show, you know, or like it takes weeks and months, and for some people maybe even a year, to fully adjust. And to even elaborate on that, you know, for the first year or two, I didn't really enjoy Big Brother like I had before I went on, and now I'm back to enjoying it, and this is 5 years later. So it does take some time to, like, you know, get back to who you were, because Big Brother is an experience like nothing else. It really is. You know, like I said, unless you've been to prison, nobody really knows what it's like to play this game. It's a crazy mind fuck.
Yeah. And you know, I guess there's an opportunity here, because you then watch the next season, season 17. How weird is it for you guys to sit and watch other people playing this game? I feel like, Cody, your answer is different, because I think your brother was on that season, right?
No, he was on 18. So I don't know. Like, I'm honestly right now, season 17 kind of is a blur for me. Like, I would have to look up some of the cast even, because, like, I remember, like,
Vanessa, Steve, Liz, Julia.
Right. It took me a second to – I had a pause.
Okay.
Were too.
Season. Okay. So, yeah, it was – oh man, it was different. It was a different view, because I would be like, why are they doing that? Like, what is happening? Like, did they not watch this? Or like,
right.
And so it was a lot. Season 17, I didn't enjoy. And then season 18, I didn't get to enjoy because my brother was on it. So it took even more than that. Like, I would say it was like Tyler, Casey, Angela, like that season where I thought Tyler was awesome. I thought he was a genuine person. Casey was amazing. So I thought it was great, because that one I finally started to enjoy. I was like, wow, this is good.
And you could feel like, I have nothing to do with this. I can watch this as a fan again. Yeah.
Because watching it with my brother on it was like traumatizing in itself, like watching it the season after I was
in a totally different way than playing it, probably.
Correct. And so there was no enjoyment of watching 18. Like, I was like, even though I was watching the feeds constantly, even the live, I was screaming at the TV. So it was a different experience than how I ever watched it previously. So I would say and then after that, I was like, dude, what had just happened last season? So it took me a while to bounce back into it.
How about you, Derek? You mean, and then you guys both made some visits and stuff like that, and did some competition stuff.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about your visit in a second, because you visited Paul in that season where, you know, there was so much being said about him at that. But was it hard for you to watch season 17? I think is my first question.
I think it was a little bit of jealousy and envy, because you kind of it's your house and you're seeing him experience it. And you know, if I'm being honest, you're the main focus, you know, coming out of there. And now these people are taking over. You have that year afterwards where you're traveling the country and meeting people and making a bunch of money doing all these appearances. And now there's some new young, you know, guys taking your spot. They're going to be the new talk of the town. So that's one element. I think another element is you know, we always talk about former alumni critiquing people while they're playing.
Yeah.
But I also think there's another side to that where you get people in the house critiquing former players.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And the bottom line is I know me as like, I won't even lie. Like I'm a guy, I have an ego like everybody. And I played college sports and like, I want to compete. And if someone says they can beat me, let's find out. So when you have people in there, you know, discrediting you or some point,
did that happen though? Did somebody say
something? I've definitely had people, I'm not going to say anything, but I've definitely had people who have definitely like downplayed my game and said like, I shouldn't have won. And like, I only, you know, bullshit. Cody carried, but you know what I mean? Like you've had it or like, they just think that like they downplay it and say, oh, he wasn't that great or whatever. And it's like, at the end of the day, you're not losing sleep over it, but it's like, those are the moments where it's like, if I were in the house, I'd have you eating out of my pocket right now. You know what I mean? but you then you come back. So like, and that's definitely ego, right? That's definitely ego. Mm. So there's a mix of emotions, but now, and I'm not just saying it because Cody said it, I don't want to sound like puppets here, but season 20 for me was the first season where it was like, damn, this is why I love Big Brother. I even got caught up in the moment at one point. It was like, best season ever. And I don't know if it's the best season ever, but I was just feeling that season. Like there was people to root for, strategists, funny people, you know, no real drama, nothing too personal. Like it was just like the way Big Brother should be every season.
Yeah, I agree with you guys on that. But what about that returning? You know, they call you up and ask you to, you both of you have come back to do things, right?
Yep.
So what is that experience like when you go in the house? Do you have to keep up and say, I've been watching this? And, you know, and then that particular season with Paul, where there was so much drama around him, you know, and you now, and here you go.
That was a rough season.
And you know all the information because you're not sequestered. You know what I mean? Right. What was that experience like for you?
It's difficult, but the producers are very good about it. And I still caught heat. I still caught heat for it. And like, I wasn't against Paul or anybody else for that matter. I never said anything in there that hurt his game, but like people were like, oh, you pointed to the money and said, that's what you're here for. Don't forget it. You were basically telling them not to follow Paul. I'm like, what?
No,
what are you talking about?
That's rabid Big Brother fans that are all over the top.
But I mean, I went in there, producers are like serious about their shit. And I had a little earpiece in and, you know, they would tell me stuff that they wanted me to ask. And they coached me before on how I should answer if I'm asked certain questions. But like, there were points where, you know, they were like, oh, you know, I don't know if America's going to like me. They're just throwing like a line out there to see if I bite. And I'm like, oh man, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, see how it goes. Just keep playing hard, you know? So it's cool to go back in there and see the house. I've been in there twice now since I played. Once for that and once for Nicole's engagement.
Yes, I remember awesome. That.
Such a good time. So that's much fun.
Better again. Than the Paul thing.
And it's not even Paul because, like, you know, there's this stigma like that I don't like Paul or Paul doesn't like me. And Paul and I have talked. You know, we have no issues with each other. We're just not best friends. But I think Paul's a good dude. I think he's fine. I think, like, if we played against each other tomorrow, like, I got no ill will towards him. I think he's he's a great player.
Viewer, I always felt that he got a little bit maybe too caught up in the drama. You know what I mean? Paul, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? At the end of the day, like, that dude.
But he seemed like a good dude. Because if you go back to the season prior that Paul was in, he seemed like a genuinely good dude. And, like, if you look at his posts and stuff like that, it sucks because this game is a show, yeah. But Paul's a real person. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys are real people. You know, Josh is a real person. And all these people that came to play Big Brother, they're not characters in your favorite TV show. You know what I mean?
Right. And let me stop you there for a second. Think about this. He gets shit for like playing hard and like, you know, putting guys against each other. There are former players that were way more malicious, way more addictive, way more mean. And they're like celebrated.
Whatever that word is.
So
treated like heroes. Yeah.
At the end of the day, the Big Brother fandom is very subjective. And like, if I were to go in there and be mean to someone, I would be called a woman abuser and misogynist, but someone else does it and it's entertaining. Like, you know, it's just the way it is. Like Will Kirby, legend, he can get away with anything.
Yeah.
There's nothing he can say that is going to be misconstrued as him being mean.
Right.
He's just being Will.
Yeah.
Where if somebody else does it, it's like, oh, he's an asshole, you know? So.
And I do wonder though, Big Brother is one of those shows so interesting that we lost Derek. Big Brother is one of those shows that's so interesting that in a sense that like because it's done like all these different years or whatever, like you can see the different place and time that people were in, say when Evil Dick was on the show, right? Like, you know, there was a different acceptance of that sort of behavior. Now, I wonder if in this in the world that we're in now, how Evil Dick would do in the way he played, how he would do in this kind of culture. You know, culture's changing.
Oh, 100%. I think that it definitely would be viewed very differently, where he's viewed as one of the better players to play the game.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he's not on purpose.
Yeah. He did it, and then he would talk about it in the DR, how he would do it on purpose, and like that was his plan. And I think that it would definitely be viewed
in it would be really tough to get away with it in this day and age, you know. Here's a question that popped in. Did being a have not affect you during competitions?
So what we didn't have or have nots until like probably like 7 or 8 weeks in. Like that wasn't a thing on our season because we had the Battle of the Blocks, so they never would add the have or have not competition. So it wasn't really a thing, but it definitely would affect you if it was a physical competition, because what people don't understand is like you're eating like oats with like a just it's like taking any nutrition that your body 100% needs, throwing it in a powdered bag, and then that's what you're mixing it up with, which it tasted horrible.
Right.
So you would eat just steel cut oats and drink protein. So like if there was a physical comp, which our season didn't really have, it definitely would have. But, you know, I can't say that being a have not really affected me in any way in any of the competitions. So, yeah.
Do you still talk to Zach?
Oh, my God. All the time. I talk to Zach all the time. One, because him and I got very close. I know Derek like talks to Zach as well, but him and I got very close. We did Fear Factor together, him and I. And now I do real estate. And so he, like when we did Fear Factor, like two and a half years ago, he was constantly being like, dude, right now is a really good time to get into it. So I'm always like connecting with him. One, because that's what you do. You connect with different agents and just see like what other markets are going on. Like what do the markets look like down in Florida? Like if you have anybody coming up, like, you know, just different conversations. And then just kind of, I like how Zach is like with his positive, he's got like this mindset and like the way, like he thinks he's like altering kind of like this, like positive thinking and like enjoying everything in the moment. And so like cool. He's refreshing to be honest now, like way more than he was when we first came off the show. Cause when we first came off, he was like, I'm Zach Attack. Like everyone loves me. Like, bro, like you see how famous we are. And I was always like, dude, we were on a reality show. Like, we're not like Leonardo DiCaprio. Like we were just a reality show. Another show is going to happen next season and the season after, and we're probably going to die down. But he was always like, he was a lot at first. And then he like the edge came off and now he's, I talk to him all the time.
Cool. Yeah. I think people would like to see him again. You know, I think they love him. Yeah. Well, I mean,
well, he activates his Instagram and then he deactivates it.
Right. Like, I don't know what the status is right now.
Yeah, his Instagram is active. So if you like him, go on because he posts a lot. He's very active on social media. So I would look him up.
Now, you mentioned you're doing real estate. Now, have you run into somebody that recognized you from Big Brother doing real estate?
Yeah. So I was sitting in open house and this couple came in. And it was this beautiful home in a town by me, $1.7 million home. And this couple came in and like, for me, like it's just in that luxury market, like it's, everything is very, and like, I want to get your information. And the husband and the wife look at me and they're like, have we seen you before? Like, I was like, I don't know. Like, I mean, you may have seen me at another open house. And they were like, I don't know. Like, no, I don't think that was it. Like, this is the first one. And I was like, I don't really know. Cause like the thing that I never say ever, like, I feel like I know you or like, man, you look familiar.
You don't want to say, well, I was on this thing.
Exactly. Arrogant.
Yeah.
Did you get booted?
No. It's embarrassing, but, didn't charge my laptop.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I thought it was gonna be like a 45 minute and I'm not mad. It's going longer. I like this. This is fun.
Okay.
Yeah. No, the MacBook didn't give me a warning, and
I had to run downstairs. And then you're like, "Are we close?" Yeah, MF.
No, I might have tripped and fell on the stairs.
I'm trying to grab the block.
I tripped over the dog, but yeah, I hope I didn't miss anything good.
I wanted to hear Cody, how are you going to finish that? So you're in this open house, and then
Derek, I was kind of touching on like how like, you know, when somebody would come up to you and like, it's a little bit down the road now. So now we're a little bit ways out. We're not that immediate. When we first came out, it was Cody from Big Brother, Derek from Big Brother, like now it's like your familiar face, like, because these people that watch it, they're watching it 3 times a week. So your face is there.
Right.
Yeah. It's like I was at an open house and the person was like, man, you look so familiar. And it takes like everything out of me, like to just be like, I was on a show once. And I don't ever say it like, well, I was on Big Brother, you know, like no big deal. So right. I was on this reality show like about 6 years ago. And the guy like finally was like, yes, Cody and Derek, the Hitmen, Big Brother. I was like, and it like clicked it. And I was like, oh yeah, that was it. That was it. And then he was like, oh my God, bro. Like,
and then they immediately probably have all the questions that we ask right now.
And the worst part is that like, I'm talking to them, but like, what I really want is to like show them the house. Like, are you interested? Cause it's like a good cut to like, be like, oh my God, I love this house. Like you don't have a buyer's agent. Like
right.
The $1.7 million house. Like, I'm like, let's go check the house out. And they're like, asking me all these questions, not looking at this incredible home that we were in.
Right.
And I was like, great. And then another person came in. I was like, ooh, I got to cut this conversation short. God, I hope they don't think I'm a dickhead.
Right.
Like that was the only time it really happened. Nobody else has.
How about for you, Derek, though? Is it, and you have another show now, and Cody, you're in a movie, right? I mean, that's coming out soon, I think, right?
Yeah. There's one that's coming out soon. Yeah. But everybody, it's still Big Brother.
Yeah, for sure. But what about you, Derek, when you came out of the house and getting recognized? Is that weird for you or?
Yeah, I think it's weird for anybody. I mean, you go from, you know, I always do the same analogy. Like I had 21 followers on Twitter, or I followed 21 people on Twitter for sports and fantasy football. And then you come back out, my buddy was running my social media. And I had
did
like
you plan that in advance, or did that just
yeah. So I you know, watching previous seasons, I had Twitter, and I would like, I wouldn't follow any Big Brother players, but I saw the Big Brother tweets. So I just said, sure. Hey, you know, I don't know if there's going to be any type of America thing, you know, like a fan favorite type thing, but could you run my Twitter for me? I didn't even open an Instagram. I didn't even have an Instagram during Big Brother.
Right.
Then when I came out and I opened an Instagram, because everyone had Instagram, and I just put a video up. The first post was like, hey, this is Derek from Big Brother. Everyone keeps sending an Instagram. So here I am. And I woke up the next morning. It was like 120,000 people. And I'm like, oh my God, because it was already more than I had on Twitter. I was like, and as I'm watching it, it was literally going up like while I was watching it. So it's wild. And then like, again, the coolest experience I had was like traveling the country with this guy and going to like Hitmen. Like we were like, it's like a fantasy, I think, for everyone to have like that moment of like what it would be like to be famous. And it literally is like your 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
And like you're walking in places and girls are crying. And it's like, and it's cool. And you know what? It's not something that I personally would want to do long-term because it's like weird and stressful, but like to have that understanding, it's a really fucking cool thing to be able to say you did. Even talking to my kids about it, it's cool. You know, like it's really cool.
What's the first moment where somebody recognizes you, and are you like, cause you come out of the house and you're famous, but you don't really realize that you're famous. Cause you know, you were just in the house. You know what I mean?
I knew instantly. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was one of the best feelings I've ever had, other than like having my kids and getting married. Like, so it's tough to explain, but like Big Brother is like obviously a studio lot. And when I won, they usher you upstairs above where the stage is, right? Like there's offices up there. And they had me in there for like 30 minutes and they were like making me sign everything like right there. And then after that was all done, they're like, would you like to go down to the after party like with everybody else? So the best way I can explain it is you go outside the offices and there's like an outdoor staircase that leads down back to the first floor where the party is. It's on the studio lot. And there's a big group of people on the lot partying that night. Like they invite everybody, family of the crew. And I walked out the door and it was like freaking, I was a member of like NSYNC. Like, everyone was like, Derek. Like, it was like, they all know who I am. Like, I still hadn't set in. And it was like the coolest moment ever because they're like looking up at you. And then, like, you get adjusted to it really quick and you just kind of like embrace it for as long as it lasts because you're not entitled to that. And you're not famous. You have no discernible talent that made you famous. You're just literally on a corner. which that and a dollar will get me a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not being like humble. That's the truth. Nobody gives a shit that you won Big Brother. Nobody cares.
Right.
So, you know, you enjoy that for the moment and then you let it go because it's gone in a second. And it's not something that you should try to like extend. Just fucking enjoy it and move on. Make your money, sign your photos, and then like Cody and I have done, like move on with your life and do other things.
Yeah. What about your experience with that, Cody? Was it like that when you first got out?
Yeah, it was wild. It was wild. The first meet and greet I did, where I like had that, it was like he said, it was like it was right in the town next to me at this big place.
Dude, you and Zach, right?
No, I did it by myself first.
Oh, that's right. You did do it by yourself.
And I did it by myself. And the entire like center that they've had people to was like filled, packed, like insane.
Dude, you had like what, 300 or 400 people there.
I want to say it was even more than it was whatever they could fit in there plus standing behind the seats. And it wasn't a small room. It was a big room. I don't know the numbers and I don't want to embellish it to make
it. No, it's okay. Yeah.
Dude, I remember that one. And I also remember the one with you and Zach, which was fucking insane too. Yeah. You had like, you guys were like on a stage and the place was like filled to the back wall.
And that one. Yeah. And so like, that was the second time, because the first time they were like, we got to bring you back. And I was like, okay. And they were like, well, there's this person. Do you think? And like, for me, it was always like, I want to do stuff with Derek. Like I was like, Derek's my guy. Like I want it to be a Hitman thing. Like, and so, but then I did the one with Zach, but the first one was like a girl came. So a woman that my mom worked with, her daughter came and she came to the back, like where I was backstage. And when she came back, she like hysterically cried. And I was like, what in the world? Cause like, that's like you, again, exactly what Derek said, like, you don't think of stuff like that. Like, you know, like granted, like I want to be
crying about it,
like crying. And this was like, I mean, granted, it's not, she was like a young girl. It was like those, like,
of course,
yeah. She was like a middle school girl, like sixth grade, maybe fifth grade. And was like crying, like couldn't really get up to smile for a photo. Crazy. Like the mom was like, what's going on with you? I was like, what is happening? And then I walked out to like the room went like, but it was just a surreal experience. And that's what,
and we don't deserve it. Yeah, Cody, were you feeling the same? Like, did it make you feel like weird? Like this is a joke that they don't get. Like, yeah, like I don't, they shouldn't be here.
Like, I was like, you guys, like people perform. I was like, great. I can't wait to answer questions about Big Brother. I hope people are entertained. Like, get up there and dance. I can't sing, can't play the guitar, can't do anything. And to be like, thank you guys for coming out. Like, and that's why I feel like, you know, being an artist like gets you like that. Like, people are around and like are applauding you for like something like your art. Like, we just played Big Brother, and not to like down, you know, but Big Brother's like a huge show, but we just played this reality show. And it was wild. I couldn't equate it to like, why, like, are these, like, you know, I don't have a talent. Like, I could juggle a soccer ball on the stage, but like, you'd be bored in 30 seconds.
Right. True.
All right. I got some more shout outs here. I know this person, and this is your aunt Sharon.
Right? Yeah.
She is an amazing videographer. And I mean, you're a cinematographer. You have to go check out her stuff. If you're getting married, who knows whenever anyone's getting married again, but when that kicks back up, she's probably one of the most talented people I've ever met. So she has a talent. Let's see here. There was a good one here that had popped up. Okay. What's one of your memorable moments on the show?
For me, I mean, like, honestly, like, the obvious answer would be winning and walking out to my wife and daughter. That's the, you know, easy one. For me, I think the best moment we had, well, I should say for myself, was having Jeff and Jordan show up for the engagement, being a part of that, and having, what was the artist's name? He was incredible. I'd never heard him before.
Brett Eldridge. Brett Eldridge. Who got
having him
huge. Personal.
And Caleb was like crying, like, and he was a really good singer. Like, even though I didn't know the songs, I was like, these are beautiful. Like, being out there, you know, having a drink with one of my like quote unquote fan heroes, like, you know, like Jeff and Jordan, and like we put down the game for a moment, like for an hour. We weren't trying to kill each other, and we were just with their family and friends, and we were a part of that for their life.
Yeah.
So cool. I was like, dude, this is sick. Like, and for the production crew to trust us enough to come out here and not ruin that moment, that says a lot too. So like, it was, that was my favorite moment.
Yeah. How about you, Cody?
I don't know. I would probably say when, like, my favorite, like, there's a lot. My favorite was probably when I sent Victoria and, like, Derek and I, like, sat and we're like, dude, we're in the final two. Like, we said it to each other. We're like, holy shit. We're in the final two. Derek goes, good luck, man. Like, and it was like, it wasn't even like good luck start of the game. It was like, we actually made it to the final two. That for me, like, that moment was like surreal. And then when Derek turned after the votes were, and we're like, brace yourself, you're about to find something out. And I was like, okay. I was like,
I told them during break that they were going to come back with a segment about me being an undercover cop, because they told me that was coming.
Yeah.
You know, I told Cody they wanted, you know, they were asking me if I would reveal that, you know, during my vote, like what my thought process was. And I said I didn't want to use that against him unless, like, he had something up his sleeve.
Right.
And they said, well, would you reveal it afterwards the votes are in? And I'm like, yeah, of course. And so that's when we did it.
You gave the spoiler alert.
Yeah, I was like, hey, dude, something's coming right now. It's about me. And, you know, but I didn't. And they, actually, if you remember, Cody, someone came, I won't say their name, but someone came over and said, Derek, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. they wanted like a genuine reaction from him.
But it wasn't
nothing malicious, and that's why I didn't mind not keeping it from him, because it didn't affect anything.
Right.
And he told me his uncle was a state trooper and stuff, so I was like, yo, he's gonna like this.
Yeah.
And I was just, but like, I would never like have embarrassed him, so like, that's why I didn't mind it, because it was like a good surprise, you know?
Yeah, I think one of the things about the way you played too, Derek, was that you were always straight with people. You know, you didn't. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, the game allows for a little bit of wiggle room on that. But I mean, even when Victoria sort of at the end asks you that question about whether you were going to take her or whatever, you were fucking straight with her, dude. You didn't pussyfoot around it and whatnot. You just were direct and you said what you had to say. And I mean, I don't think anybody prior to that had played a game kind of like that, where you were.
It's crazy too, because I get asked all the time. I'm surprised I get asked it tonight. Like, everyone thinks, well, I shouldn't say everyone, but a lot of people think that if I had won the final HOH, I would have cut them. And
oh, I don't think that.
Yeah. And don't take any word that I say for true. Let's just say everything I'm saying is false. With as strategic as I played, what strategic sense would it have made to tell a jury member at that moment that I wouldn't have voted for, I wouldn't have taken her?
Right.
Wouldn't I have just lied to her at that moment and said, no, if I had won, I would have taken you. It's Cody. He's the bad guy.
Right.
You know, like, it made no rational sense to tell her, hey, just so you know, you're about to vote, but I still wouldn't have taken you.
No, yeah, well,
you didn't get that vote.
I genuinely thought I might have lost it at that moment, because I was like, oh man.
But you still ran with it. You said it nicely, but it was truthful.
I don't know
how people say that to you, because I feel like it was clear what the bond was. You had stated what the hitmen were. You know what I mean? So obviously you guys were ride or dying, and you took the chance that he might win this thing. And he would, at that point, he would have deserved to win just as much as you.
I know, again, Cody can attest to this. Like, I think Cody felt like I might have an advantage going into it, but I also think Cody was like, I could pull this off. If he screws up a speech, you know, and I give a better one, like, I could pull it out. I could pull out the dub. Like, we didn't know what they were thinking. We only thought that if we cut each other, they were going to vote for whoever was sitting next to us, because we burned a lot of people. That's the only thing that we were certain about, is that one of us was going to get 50K if we cut the other person.
And it could have been that the jury was like, fuck Derek. You know what I mean? Like,
we spiteful votes all the time in the finale. And I think the people that won in Paul seasons were deserving, but Paul, like, back-to-back seasons went to the finals, and like, it just seemed like, I feel like he just got spite voted into a loss. And then I think he could have won one of those, but it was like, you see it all the time. It's just like,
and he thought he was going to win. I'm sure he thought he was going to win.
Yeah.
And you just don't know what is being said in the jury house. So the way we looked at it was, hey, listen, we take each other. And we said this on like day one or two, right? We take each other. If we get there, one of us is guaranteed 50K, which is more money than any of us ever make in a year.
Yeah.
And one of us is guaranteed having them. We're guaranteeing it. If we burn the other person, there's a very real chance that person walks away with zero and you walk away with 50.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, the numbers don't add up. It's just better to go with the two and roll with it. So, more here. I mean,
yeah, a couple more from the fans here.
Yeah.
This is a good one. Would Derek ever let his kids play Big Brother?
Of course. Yeah. I think it's a great game. It's a great learning experience. I think it's an opportunity. So I went on the house when I was 30 years old. I learned a lot about myself, some good, some bad. And I think if you are a good person and you mean well, that'll show on the show and you'll come out of it a better person, whether you win or lose. And I genuinely mean that. I think it's something that I wish everyone could experience because it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And if my girls came to me and said, hey, we have a chance, they're still doing it and they think it'd be a cool thing to have me, your daughter, play, I would 100% be for it. I would tell her that if she dated anyone on the show in the house and did anything, I'll fucking kill her. But because I know some people do shit on the feeds now that they shouldn't be doing.
Totally.
But other than that, go play the game.
Yeah, I hear.
I don't want to break anyone's legs when they come out of the house. You know what I mean?
Here's this, Cody. Please shout me out. Do you know that person? I don't know.
Goodell?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
is that it? You guys pronounce it right?
You guys are seeing comments. I don't see comments.
You got to go into live comments, not private chat. Let's go, Sammy.
I haven't been doing that.
All right. Do you still, we kind of talked about this. Do you still talk to anyone from BB? If so, yeah, we kind of hit that one. All right. I think we kind of rocked this. It was a lot of fun. We definitely went longer, but I mean, I could talk to you guys for 2 weeks.
No, this is fun, man.
It was absolutely a blast to have you guys back together and talking Big Brother. Anything you want to say to the fans of the show? You know, regarding future seasons, how to maybe handle your favorite or least favorite players. Is there anything that you want to say to fans that you think that they should know? Yeah.
I think whether you like or severely loathe somebody, like these are people and everybody reads their feeds. And I think that a huge thing that goes on social media is people don't understand because they're behind a screen and they think the other person is that what they're saying doesn't hit and hurt and severely affect somebody. And I think people really need to be more conscious of like how brutal they can be towards somebody thinking like, oh, whatever, like they took out my favorite person. So like, I hope you die and stuff like that. Like
crazy.
Serious stuff that I think people take lightly because it's done on a keyboard and a phone and you're typing it. And I think social, like whether it's, I don't want to call it social bullying because it's just,
it is to a degree.
These are people. And just because you think like, oh, I'm somebody just typing something. Like if you tweet at them, you comment on their stuff, like people say some really wrong things. And I think positivity, like if you don't like somebody, just stick to the person you like. And be positive to the person you like. There's no need to go fly over to the person you don't and crucify them and their families or their siblings. It's like, just stick positive, stay positive with the people that you like. Steer away from the people that you don't.
Yeah. What about you, Derek?
I mean, I guess I would just like piggyback on what Cody said, but I would change it up and point the finger at, in addition to fans, it has to be the former house guest too, right? Like it's okay to be critical because I've definitely done that. Like I want to like analyze the game and put my feelings out there on Twitter, but don't be malicious. Don't be personal about with your attacks. You know, there's some people that are really bad. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of the hate that comes from fans is because they see the alumni doing it.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's all of it, but it's definitely some of it. So I think we can all do better. And, you know, again, I would just say, you know, if you get the chance to go on there, you know, think about what you've done and said in the past and how you reacted to someone's behavior and try not to do those things that you didn't like when you were watching the show, because it is very easy to get caught up in there if you are on the show, and just enjoy the experience because it seems like you're in there a long time, but once it's over, it's over. You know?
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's do this real quick. One person here. Love you guys. If you shout me out, it means so much. So we have Sammy there.
Giraffe.
Sammy, what up, Sammy? What up, Sammy? Appreciate you. And I just read through the comments, and you commented a lot. So
yeah,
appreciate it.
Yeah, we took care of that for you guys. So I'm all about gratitude these days. Is there anybody that you guys want to shout out besides Sammy that, you know, was an influence in your life in some way? It doesn't have to be necessarily in the Big Brother world, but someone that's super important to you that you would like to give some gratitude to before we pop out of here. Derek.
Mine's easy. I all the love and the support in the world to the doctors and nurses right now, but I'm going to be a little biased and give a major shout out to all of law enforcement and first responders and general firefighters. My brother, I just FaceTimed him tonight. He's on the rescue truck in a big city, and he's dealing, you know, face to face with people with COVID-19, you know, and like he's risking his safety, his children's safety to be out there for them and for us. So big shout out to all the first responders, everybody who doesn't get this luxury to sit inside and wait this out. They're out there they're in with a war with a faceless enemy right now. So big mm-hmm. shout out to all of them.
Cool. Cody, who do you got?
Yeah, I'll just piggyback off of that. Really, that's awesome. And then just my support system, my family, my girlfriend, all the people that if I do something horrible, they're like, well, I got your back anyways. So, you know, that and then what Derek said, because it is true, like the nurses, like they don't get to just sit at home where we're like, well, we don't really know if I'm going to catch it, but I'm doing good. I'm sitting at home. Like these nurses are stepping out at the front line of people that have it and they're coming home to families. And so
mm-hmm.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Increases for all of them. They should all think about something. A great quote I saw on social media, you know, all these NFL players, these basketball players, I know why they get paid what they get paid because it's all about the dollar. But you think about something, these people that are getting paid millions, we don't need them right now.
Right.
But the people who are really matter are out there getting paid 30, 40, 50 grand a year,
sure.
struggling to make it. Something to think about. Probably won't change, but it's kind of when you really think about it, it's kind of fucked up how we work. But you know, maybe really? This is something that changes that.
Absolutely. Okay, one more here. Brody Wilson says, you guys are the GOATs. So,
hey, Brody.
Very nice, right? Listen, guys, yeah. I want to give you guys both some gratitude. I know it seems silly, but that summer of Big Brother 16, you did a lot for a lot of people. That might seem crazy, but you connected with people just by being who you are. And there is something to say, yes, we can talk about the negative sides of being on Big Brother and all that stuff, but there's a positive side. I think you gave people a lot of entertainment for sure through that particular summer. And I think you're both genuinely good guys. And I think that's why people are drawn to you. And that's why so many people came in to watch this tonight. So thank you for doing this. And thank you for that season. It was a lot of fun to watch you guys do what you did. And I know, I'm sure there's a cop somewhere that was inspired by you, Derek. And I'm sure there's somebody that was watching the feeds at some point. And Cody, you probably said something that touched their lives too. So you never know who you're going to touch when you're on something as silly as, you know, Big Brother. But, and I think to the point about like, why did people react that way in the crowds and all that stuff? It's a deep connection that they feel with you because you both gave them authenticity, and that's so hard to find these days. So
appreciate to both
of you, man, thank you very much for doing this. All right,
no, yeah. This is fun, dude. You're always a good time. I still remember our Funny or Die thing, so
yeah, that was a lot of fun too. Yeah, man, good shit.
This is cool to reconnect, man. Be safe out there.
You too, man. All right,
later,
guys. Later. Bye. Yeah.